To the sixth case of the day, Dayoud versus Ashcroft. Ms. Hannigan.
May it please the court, my name is Ann Hannigan, and I'm here today on behalf of Petitioner Loay Jamal Daoud. Petitioner is a citizen of Iraq, and he migrated to the U.S. at the age of 17, seeking asylum in 1999. He is an Assyrian Christian and has been persecuted as such by the Muslim majority ruling the country. Petitioner was arrested and asked about for whom his father works.
Ms. Hannigan, before you get too much into this, I wonder if you could throw a little light on the very last point made in the government's brief, which was that Mr. Daoud did file a motion to reopen based on changed country conditions, that the board denied this petition, and no appeal has been taken from that denial. Why is that? I mean, it seems to me, to go outside the record, conditions arguably have changed in Iraq since the day Mr. Daoud came to the United States, and even since the time of his principal adjudication, which was about a week or so before the 9/11 attacks. So what explains this?
To be honest with you, I was hired to do the appeal in the case, and the attorney who handled this with the immigration court, he obviously filed a motion to reopen, and he never communicated that to me. So,
wow. Okay.
I don't know why. I don't have an explanation at this point. Sorry. Petitioner was arrested and asked about for whom his father works. His parents live in northern Iraq, where there are Assyrians and Kurds resisting the government. His father was arrested in February 1999 because the government said he was one of those working against the government.
Could I ask you another question? Aside from this certificate in English that is created in 1999, what record evidence is there that he is, in fact, an Assyrian Christian? His testimony,
I assume? His testimony and his baptismal certificate.
So that's it. And the immigration judge finds him not to be a credible witness.
Well, the immigration judge actually said that he had a good case for persecution based upon the State Department reports as to the persecution.
Well, I think he says it's a plausible theory because the State Department, as of even the time of that report, which was maybe a 1999 report, indicated that this kind of persecution was occurring in Iraq. Now, we have no idea, of course, what's happening now, but anyhow, that was there. But the critical finding is that the judge finds that this guy is simply not credible, whether it's his airport interview, whether it's going back and forth from Detroit to Chicago and back again, whether it's, you know, other
Well, the
points.
Issue of going back and forth to Detroit and Chicago
does he have an
really shouldn't impact credibility because it's not something that would
But it's the underlying
that would substantiate
reason.
An asylum claim.
It's the underlying reason. At one point he says he's got an aunt in Detroit, then he wants to come to Chicago, then he says I have no relatives in Detroit, then he wants to go back again so that the relatives can be there. It's a factor. I'm sure it's not the only factor, but the immigration judge just has the obligation to explain on the record exactly what causes him to come to this credibility determination. He offers the reasons that I've been talking about, and if those reasons find support in the record, that's pretty much the end of it.
Well, the immigration judge said that that his claim was undercut because of the inconsistency of answers during the airport interview. May I continue?
Please, yeah.
Petitioner's father was arrested in February 1999 because the government said he was one of those working against the government. They thought his father was supporting anti-Iraq elements in the region of Balto. In June 1999, Petitioner was also arrested and questioned about his father. He was slapped and spat upon by security officers. 2 months later, his uncle obtained for him a passport, and he fled to Jordan and in the U.S. In his oral decision to deny asylum, the immigration judge stated that the State Department country reports on Iraq regarding persecution of Assyrian Christians actually supported petitioner's claim for asylum, but the immigration judge stated that the answers given in petitioner's airport interview undercut his claim. Petitioner testified that he was very nervous and afraid during the airport interview, and he panicked. He was afraid to tell of his father being arrested and questioned every day in the spring of 1999, several months before petitioner fled, or that his father was working against the government. When the INS began asking about potential persecution, petitioner was afraid if he told the truth he would be returned to Iraq, so he systematically started answering no to the questions.
So why do we have to disbelieve? I mean, you have said all these things in your brief, which we, I assure you, have read.
Yes.
The big question you have to answer is why we have to buy petitioner's view of these things, not the view that the immigration judge took. This is not de novo review on our part, after all.
Well, my main argument is that the officer, the examining officer, did not ask the appropriate follow-up questions.
But the immigration judge says that there was enough, and the immigration judge doesn't find this, I was afraid, sufficiently cogent to override.
Well, he said, if I'm returned to Iraq, they will arrest me.
Right.
And he said that twice when they said, state your basis for persecution.
And
he
I'm
said
sure
they will
you've
arrest
read these
me.
Other cases. I mean, people tell these ghastly tales of what's going to happen to them, and sometimes they're, in fact, bad enough to justify asylum. This is a fairly mild claim as these things go.
Well, I think, you know, it needs to be considered in light of the landscape, the political landscape in Iraq against the minority of Assyrian Christians who are considered non-Arabs as well as Christians. And so they are not considered part of the Muslim majority or the Arab majority.
Which is why I ask, what credited evidence in the record is there that he is even in this group? And how do we know that he himself suffered persecution? We have lots of cases. We had a recent case about Somalia. I mean, some countries are in a state of general chaos, but if your problem is countrywide, that's not enough to entitle you to asylum.
Well, as I said, his father was arrested and questioned every day prior to him fleeing the country.
Okay.
And then he was arrested and said, we want you to report
right.
on your father.
Okay.
And he fears that if he goes back, he will be killed at this point. Definitely arrested and
arrested,
probably killed.
Said, yeah. Okay. If you want to save rebuttal time.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hannigan. Ms. Golden.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Dan Goldman on behalf of the Attorney General. This Court should uphold the agency decision and deny the petition for review. The bottom line in this case is that Mr. Jamal Dawood simply did not make a credible claim for relief, and substantial evidence supports the immigration judge's decision. The immigration judge noted the inconsistencies in the record between the testimony and the asylum statement, between the testimony and the airport interview. There were other questions as to corroboration, the questions as to the baptism or baptismal certificate. All of those questions about the inconsistency support the immigration judge's decision, and petitioner has not met his burden to come into this court and show that substantial evidence compels reversal of that agency decision.
Now, Mr. Goldman, you may not know this, but I just wonder, is the United States at the present time actually removing people to Iraq in some kind of triumph of hope over experience, or are we in any way acknowledging that this is a country that is in a state of, shall we be euphemistic and say, a lot of unrest?
The answer to your question is we are not removing aliens to Iraq at this time, and I checked that before I got on a plane Tuesday. We are not.
Although perhaps you'll start this afternoon, since the Supreme Court in the JAMA case today said that removals can proceed even if there is no functioning government in the country to which the person will be returned.
Your Honor, I don't know what DHS.
It came down today.
Yeah, so and I don't know what DHS is going to do in the face of that.
It came down while you were sitting here.
I imagine so, Your Honor. Perhaps Judge Chertoff would have a better answer as to what we're going to do on that one. I would urge the court to recognize, though, that regardless of whether the removal order can actually be executed, whether or not Mr. Jamal Daoud can be removed, the question before this court is the validity of that removal order. And for the reasons I've cited, the substantial evidence, rather, supports the immigration judge's decision. The inconsistencies were clear. For example, in the asylum statement, which was prepared with counsel, Mr. Jamal Daoud testified, or rather stated, that he was never arrested. He was questioned, but never arrested. He gets into immigration court. He says, specifically, he was arrested. In his asylum statement, again, prepared with counsel, he claims he was beaten. When he gets into court, however, he specifically denies that. These are major inconsistencies. They go to the heart of his claim. And then we get to the airport interview where he denies ever being persecuted. I would challenge the petitioner's characterization throughout their brief and today in court that he systematically answered no or shut down. He answered 35 questions, if my count is correct, cogently, responsively, before he answered no to three questions. And then immediately after answering no to those questions, he was asked an open-ended question. Describe your fears in detail. He didn't just say no. He didn't say, I don't know. He didn't say, I'm scared, I'm tired, I don't want to answer. He gave an answer. It was short, but he said, I fear that I'll be arrested if I go back. So to suggest that he systematically answered no or shut down or was so scared that he couldn't answer the questions would suggest that the evidence in this case belies that claim, particularly when you look at some of the answers that he had given previously. He's asked, why'd you come to Chicago? He says, they don't ask a lot of questions at O'Hare International Airport. I would suggest that, in fact, he was very responsive at the airport and that he should be held...
Unduly frank.
quite true, Your Honor. For all of those reasons, subject to the court's questions, Your Honor, government would rest on its brief and ask this court to uphold the agency decision.
All right, thank you, Mr. Golden. Ms. Hannigan?
Your Honors, as far as the airport interview, this case is on all fours with two cases from the Third Circuit, the Balasubramanian case and the Sinatiraja case. In Balasubramanian, they found that the examiner didn't ask the appropriate follow-up questions. When asked what would happen to him if returned to Sri Lanka, petitioner said, they will kill me. No attempt was to clarify if he had ever been arrested or tortured. The follow-up question was, how did you get to the U.S. from Sri Lanka? Similarly, in this case, petitioner stated twice, quote, they will arrest me. Why they would arrest petitioner, or if they had in the past, was never explored. As far as the jurisdictional issue raised in the respondent's brief, petitioner has taken an appeal to the BIA of the entire immigration judge's decision, and his decision was threefold. He denied asylum, withholding of removal, and relief under the Convention Against Torture Act. So petitioner has exhausted his administrative remedies, and there is jurisdiction for withholding of removal in this case. Finally, as far as taking judicial notice of the current political climate in Iraq and the persecution of Assyrian Christians, such as the recent bombing of Assyrian churches, this circuit on many occasions has taken judicial notice of current country conditions, such as the persecution of Muslims in Serbia, which is similar. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Hannigan. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.